Has Britain become a lawless society? Is crime now so out of control that we risk even social collapse? Nigel Farage, the leader of Reform UK, believes so. He says that London in particular is broken and lawless. But is that right? A new study from King's College London has found that people drastically overestimate the incidence of crime. For example, respondents to their survey said that 30% of Londoners had personally experienced a crime in the year to September 2025, more than double the true figure of 12%. And half believe that London had the highest violent crime rate of any region in England and Wales, although it ranks lowest. Well, Farage himself is now under investigation, as the Met Police have opened inquiries into donations to Reform UK after a Channel 4 News investigation. Matt Jukes is the Deputy Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we come to talk about the perceptions of violent crime and how people feel versus what's actually happening, can I ask you about the investigation into Reform UK's party finances? It's been announced that there will now be a broadening of the original investigation. What more can you tell us about that?
And I will say some more about that. Can I just, before we start, acknowledge that we're sitting between the funerals of PC Matthew Blades and PC Tom Clough, and we're going to talk about policing and the difference it can make in communities, and there's two men who gave their lives endeavouring to do that. To your question about those investigations, I'll just say a little bit about process and procedure. We obviously receive reports from media investigations and from journalism. It happens relatively frequently through any given year. That starts with an assessment to understand whether actually there is, to be frank, whether there is police work at all there. We have a conversation often with the Electoral Commission and with prosecutors to make early assessments about the nature of the allegations. Mm-hmm. And I'll speak very clearly about all of these things being allegations and questions to be answered at this stage. In the case of those things that flowed from the Channel 4 report, that has taken place. And officers, detectives who are frequently investigating offences of this nature have made an assessment that there are potential offences to investigate in relation to that material, looked at it and seen it to be similar to some of the other allegations that have been made. And we are now underway with an investigation. And as you'll understand, we won't give a blow-by-blow account of that.
How concerned are you more broadly about money, donations, finances in UK politics?
So we've got our part to play in that whole system. Obviously, somewhere between the regulation of the parties and Parliament, the Electoral Commission, the National Crime Agency have got a role in these things. We're going to play our part to make sure the public can understand what's happened in this case. But more importantly, we can conduct an investigation without fear and favour, as we do in all matters.
Shall we move on and talk about perception? Because I think this is really interesting. We've spoken about this before on the programme, how people feel versus what the experience of crime actually is. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he's written in the Times today, criticising British politicians and commentators for, he says, spreading lies while claiming to love their country. Do you share his frustrations?
It is frustrating because we have this remarkable city, which is safer than many, many people believe. I mean, actually, for Londoners, 4 out of 5 feel safe in their local areas. They've told this research. We do know that there are issues we need to pay attention to. We should speak about that because those are important questions for us. But what is true is that we've got lower violent crime rates and lower crime rates than the major cities of the UK, much lower and much safer capital than many European capitals and all parts of the US and its major cities, certainly. And that it's very hard for us sometimes to cut through the noise. And that noise comes, it's politicised, it's social media, it's people supported by the government in Dubai to say, don't buy property in London, buy your apartment here. And, you know, we have to be frank, it's also hostile states who want to sow division amongst people.
It's also UK-based politicians. I mean, Sadiq Khan calls them plastic patriots. Why do you think some politicians in this country whip up an idea about London which is incorrect?
One of the things that is a reality, it's talked about in this report, is that London's become a lightning rod for a conversation. This conversation, the report's very clear about migration, about the diversity of our cities. I think for Londoners, the reality is actually much more pragmatic. People want to feel safe on the streets. People want to feel safe in their homes, and we're tackling violence against women and girls and other things which take place behind closed doors and on the streets and on public transport. And I mean, we are struggling on occasions, but are determined to cut through all of that to say violent crime is lower. I mean, homicide rates per capita last year at the lowest level ever in a growing city, and knife crime lower. But things that matter to people and people worry about, you've talked about here, shoplifting, mobile phone theft. I mean, we are really determined to go after those. We've halved mobile phone theft in central London over the last year because we know it matters to Londoners.
And I want to come back to talk about some of those things, because I wonder whether sometimes people are not reporting some of those lower level crimes, so maybe we don't have the full picture. But just on this idea of people using London to make a political point, how do you feel about people like Danny Tomo, is a protester, somebody who's organised his own events, one in London yesterday, flanked by a group of men in black hoodies, balaclavas, face masks, black boots, who he calls his boys, his men, almost like a sort of a military operation. What do you make of people like that protesting in that way here?
So, I mean, it's easier to talk about police work than politics on occasions, and people are going to be out voicing their politics across London. I mean, protests, it's worth saying just how much policing protests costs the Met. We would have probably 900 additional officers on the street on an average day, you know, across London if we, you know, it doesn't fall in a very smooth way. But that's the kind of scale of policing protests. We're very serious about it. In terms of what we saw on the streets last weekend, elsewhere, and yesterday in London, it's one thing to go out and hold up a placard. I think if you're turning up at people's place of work, dressed in black, balaclavaed, you're intimidating. I think you've turned up to be intimidating. And in that case, intimidating journalists, and I think we have to be clear, people who are able to carry out their roles as journalists or as political figures. We've seen a lot of intimidation of politicians, actually. I mean, it would be easy for me to round on politicians. I won't. And actually, the truth of it is, many politicians have been intimidated over the last period by online hate, and as tragically, we've seen, you know, real violence. So I think we have to be careful not to vilify all the, you know, anybody and all those in political life. But I think those are intimidating acts. Specifically, can I just say, I think the mask wearing is sinister, and we've got some powers to deal with that. And if we start coming across that more frequently, we are going to use those powers.
Why didn't you use them yesterday?
So the group dispersed. We hadn't anticipated that group. We got to that group, and actually, once we arrived, it effectively dispersed. And the threat and the intimidation of that mask wearing dissolved with that. But I think we've got to be really determined about that because of the effect on people.
What about mask-free areas? Because you can introduce those. Would you consider those, for example, outside Parliament, other public buildings where you know that people gather?
So there's new legislation now which allows us to do that. You've seen some consultation in other areas. I think we do have to think seriously about that. We don't want to interfere with people's right to protest, of course. But I think, you know, we are intending to interfere with people's intimidation of others. You know, that is not acceptable, particularly when it crosses the line into illegality. So, yeah, I those new powers are very much in view. And, you know, we are dealing with protests week in, week out. But I think these are particularly sinister in the way they presented yesterday.
There is also a concern in the Jewish community. There's a holiday, celebrations coming up. Many Jewish people will be visiting synagogues across the capital and, of course, beyond it, around the rest of the country. And there is some concern about policy made in Westminster having an impact on their lives and their experience. Is there a plan for extra policing over this period around Jewish centres?
There is. We're building teams. You may know we're building additional teams. We've had some government support in Northwest London in particular to put additional resources in after the terrible events of the first part of this year, after the terrible events in Manchester a year ago. That plan's been in place for a period of time. The threats facing the Jewish community are extraordinary. We need to recognise it's hate crime on the streets from bigots and racists and anti-Semites. It's terrorism, just as it has been sadly, for many years. And now it's the hostility of states like Iran, who will pay people to carry out acts on the streets of Britain. So we're there to protect the Jewish community, like I have been on many occasions. I will be in synagogue at points over the holidays. And I was talking to people at a community event a couple of days ago. The idea that your child has to cover their blazer when they're travelling to school to cover the Star of David is just intolerable, isn't it? That would be true in London.
I've just two more quick questions for you. I'm aware that we're running out of time. We talked about perceptions of crime. What about the low-level stuff that people care about? Line bikes, e-bikes, people riding on pavements, people going across zebra crossings, people smoking weed, that kind of stuff. People feel like police are not dealing with that in London. I think it's probably evidence to say that it's not dealt with as much as it maybe could be. Can you crack down on that? Should you be doing more on that?
So I think we came out of the pandemic endeavouring to get serious violence under control and do a range of other things around violence against women and girls. I pointed to, I don't think we were quick enough to see the increase in shoplifting that emerged after that period. We have really been determined in that space. We've doubled the number of people we're arresting for shoplifting. We know it's an underreported crime, and we're welcoming reports from retailers. I mean, I've seen it myself, and the impact it has on your sense of safety. You know, having stepped in off duty to deal with these things, you can see the effect it has on.
Have you done that?
In a shop. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
How did it go?
Well, I'd made an arrest, and I mean, my wife complimented me on what she called slow motion wrestling.
But you had to get physical.
I had to get, yes. And because actually we need to take control of those spaces. You know, people should be, you know, I think this is serious. I mean, to be absolutely plain, it's serious if you're a retailer. It's serious if you're a staff member. Policing is determined to. We are arresting more of those. We are arresting more of those shoplifters that are persistent and
should
prolific.
Should we be doing that?
I want people to be safe. I know brave people step in all the time. Shop workers are in a difficult position, we know. But I want retailers to call the police. We're working with a variety of private organisations to make sure they can do that. The thing that we have to be clear about is we are taking action that perhaps a couple of years ago we were not. It's the same thing we're doing with mobile phone theft. I mean, as you know, it's not just about street crime, mobile phone theft. It's organised crime. Mm. And we've been rolling up gangs who've been exporting phones to China and to other parts of the other parts of the world. So we're bringing the whole heft of the Met, the flying squad, going after organised criminals. Mm. Even shoplifting these days is not just a personal crime, but at times an organised crime. So we're really determined about the things that matter. And in all of the survey work, I could talk about stats forever, Kate, but in all of this is people's real experience.
And that's what our listeners are messaging in. They're saying, you know, the stat about London experiencing crime. In the last year, I haven't been mugged, says this person, but I see people smoking crack on the street every day. Children see this on the way to school. It doesn't get reported because nothing is done. I think that's the point that people are often making here. We are running out of time. I just want to ask you before you go. You mentioned at the beginning here that the death of those two police officers who died in the line of duty. You've mentioned yourself, you ended up in a wrestling match, basically, in your local shop. Do you feel safe? Do officers feel safe? Do you think you would go back into doing this job now if you were beginning for the first time now? Would you choose to do it?
I would, and I stood in front of 250 new joiners yesterday, new recruits at Hendon, our training school, and I admire their courage, the physical courage, but also the courage to step into a world which is so much more polarised, where they can't rely on the support of political voices, where they can't rely on public support in quite the way we once could in this polarised society. But what I do know, I've been in town halls and community centres across London. Actually, London is behind the Met, wants it to succeed. And, you know, the remarkable thing actually is the men and women of the Met and policing across the country who, despite all of that noise today, while we've been sat here, are trying to keep London safe and in ways which are much more profound than my stepping in a local corner shop, are putting themselves in harm's way.
Yeah. We would love you to come back again because lots of people want to ask more questions. Line bikes, e-bikes are particularly getting people.
We are cracking down on that, Kate. We should come back and talk about it because across London, 32 boroughs, the one thing we heard loud and clear, antisocial behaviour and drug use on the street, e-bikes, and we are determined to crack them, and new neighbourhood teams are doing more work on that.
Well, please do come back. We'd love to have you back. And we really appreciate your time on the programme today. Matt Jukes, Deputy Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. Thank you.